This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1983. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 23rd, Antarctica, Australia, Canada, Colombia, Cook Islands, Cuba, Denmark, East Turkestan, Gibraltar, Indonesia, Japan, Kuwait, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Oklahoma, Peru, Spain, Sudan, Tibet, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, another reminder that LRA 36 Antarctica is still active, apparently on Tuesdays and Thursdays only. I was once again hearing a just barely audible carrier on its signature off frequency, 15475.971, Thursday, May 23rd at 1324. That's about all I can ever expect to get in Oklahoma. However, using remote receivers closer to Antarctica, such as in Brazil, one might actually hear some of their programming. Last week, hopes were somewhat renewed for the resumption of shortwave from the ABC and Radio Australia, but that depended on the outcome of the election. Now, John Filiozzi reports, those of us hoping for a revival of Radio Australia and ABC Northern Territory shortwave transmitters are about to have those always slim hopes dashed. Australians are poised to keep the Conservative Liberal National Coalition government in power despite a raft of problems plaguing the nation. He wrote this on May 18th. One definition of insanity is to keep voting for the same governing philosophy over and over and expect a different result. The whole world seems afflicted with this identical malady. The Conservatives have shown no interest in reestablishing shortwave as an outreach to the Pacific region, as New Zealand and China continue to do, or its large, sparsely populated interior, whereas the opposition Australian Labor Party expressed openness to the idea. Too bad for us, that is, us who are abroad. We previously reported that Trenton Military, flight weather from CHR in Ontario, 15034 USB, had been saying, no report received, no report received, from everywhere. But finally, May 19th at 1812, we were again hearing some actual aviation weather conditions by 18UT. And since then, it seems to be continuing more or less back in whack, although there might be an occasional no report received interspersed. Radio Canada International is still on shortwave, but only via low-power relay in Germany. Alan Rowe in England has been keeping track of that. The past two Sundays, May 12th and 19th, he heard them at a different time via the transmitter in Kahl, Germany, on 3985. They were signing on in English at 1930 UT, had been scheduled for 1700. So this appears to be a permanent change. And he says, by the way, in his opening comments, Mark Montgomery mentioned reception reports, but said they no longer have QSL cards, so they cannot QSL the shortwave relays via Germany. Even with the high storm noise level we have most of the time now, especially on the lower frequencies, I still detect a carrier and sometimes a bit of modulation slightly above 2940 kHz in the middle of the night, such as May 19th at 0605, which has previously been identified due to its exact frequency as the second harmonic of HJNT, Radio Huellas in Cali, Colombia. I was surprised there have been so few reports of this from other DXers. Where are they? Not even from Latin America. This apparently spurred some others to try for it, and in fact, now we do have other reports of it. This came from Steve Zimmerman in Milwaukee. Thanks to a tip from GH, 2940.134, May 22nd at 0455, tune in, hearing that presumed harmonic, barely recovered any audio on both sidebands, and that log prompted a much further away reception of Radio Huellas from Brian Clark in New Zealand. He says, I tuned to 2940.133 at 0730 UT, 22 May, and was able to positively identify the station with contemporary Christian vocals and an ID as Radio Huellas. That's Huellas. And their web stream was running 36 seconds behind the AM radio signal. A poor signal here, he says, but pleasing reception nonetheless. And now also via Brian Clark and Mike Terry and the WRTH, Radio Cook Islands. The Cook Islands Investment Corporation will begin dismantling our AM radio mast at Matavera. It was installed around 1970. This is quoting Adrian Sainsbury of RNZ. I remember seeing it being worked on around 1990, but since then no maintenance has been done on it. The government own it, and Blue Sky maintain it. It's a hazard at the moment, as sections of it are rusting and it needs to come down. It will affect their radio service reach. We have FM around the island and in the outer islands via the government, but the reach is not that good. Adrian says, I think radio is kind of like a low priority for anyone these days. AM has been useful. It can reach all the way to Penryn. Adrian Sainsbury, of course, visits various Pacific islands because they relay RNZ. He says the news is in contrast to Samoa, where 2AP on 540 has had a reprieve thanks to Australian aid replacing the AM mast. I say, despite its dilapidated state, has it continued in use until now? What's the frequency, Kenneth? 630 kilohertz, 2.5 kilowatts from Rarotonga, as in the WRTH, which also shows 12 FM frequencies around the islands, but those powers are likely to be very low. Paul Walker in Wyoming replies, what they don't mention is the government nor Blue Sky actually own the radio station. It's owned by a commercial company, and they do stream online. If you go to their website, radio.co.ck, and click the Listen Live link, nothing is there. You have to find the embedded HTML code source. And there's no mention of any FM frequencies on the website. He says the web stream at 16K mono is how Radio Cook Islands feeds its signal to Outer Islands FM repeaters. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Sometimes we hear a second harmonic of 6,000 kHz on 12,000, but now I've heard a second harmonic of 6,100 on 12,200 kHz. Furthermore, it's in the middle of the night when you might expect propagation to have descended, but it was functional May 17th at 0543 during the English broadcast. I could not hear second harmonics of any of the other three frequencies on the 6 megahertz band. Lately, it's not unusual for some of the four 6 megahertz frequencies to be off the air, at least during the final hour of English at 0600. May 22nd, I was not hearing them on 6060 or 6000. And there are usually under or over modulation problems on the frequencies remaining, as in this case. In Hardcore DX, Stig Hartvig Nielsen in Denmark, who runs the Low Power World Music Radio on 15805, says it's probably the station on 19 meters with the lowest power and the most simple aerial. That makes it a DX catch. It's not a signal you can rely on for regular listening. Most of the time, the signal will be absent or barely audible. In the areas where it does propagate, such as Russia, Southern Europe, Northern Scandinavia, Brazil, North America, and even once in Thailand. He says, I had imagined that would have created more interest among DXers. But he checks remote receivers all over and provides a list of them where he is hearing his own signal propagating. And he says, I've just purchased a new three-element Yagi for 15805, so hope soon there will be some improvement in signal strength. Previously, I believe he said the power was 200 watts, and it's on the air during the daytime on weekends. Weekends only, I think. Manuel Mendez in Spain does manage to hear it, such as on May 18th, Saturday at 15:40 to 16:14, with some songs in English and Latin American songs and IDs. Also on Sunday the 19th at 08:47 to 09:30. He gives them a SINPO of 25332. Wolfgang Büschel sends this advice to Stig. As a ham, I know about propagation and sunspots. And let's say until the year 2022, I'd make the technical decision to the lower side of the 31-meter band between 9320 and 9385 for the next 3 years instead of the 19-meter band. Akri Petersen in Denmark often logs the domestic service from Xinjiang PBS, also known as East Turkestan, on the 60-meter band. I sometimes hear traces of them as well. There are four of them, 4500, 4850, 4980, and 5060 kilohertz, best around gray line here. But he says, as of May 22nd, all the Xinjiang frequencies in the 60-meter band are now off for the summer season. Royal Air Force flight weather is fairly easy to hear on 5450 USB, such as May 15th at 0210, reported by José Ronaldo Xavier in Paraíba, Brazil. There's been some uncertainty about where this is actually coming from. Is it direct from the UK or Ascension or Gibraltar? That's where it's coming from, according to William Hepburn's DXInfoCenter.com list of Volmet transmissions. And the call sign is MKL, also known as Military One. And the power is 4 kilowatts. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal reports an Indonesian station, which is rarely active, I think, but sometimes shows up. It's RRI Ternate on 3345. They were at least on the air during the local mornings, let's hope in the evenings for our benefit. He reports it on May 11th with a very poor signal at 2103. Last week we had a report from Ron Howard about JG2XA, the propagation research station in Japan on 5006, which has been running an open carrier, but he thought it had finally started sending some CW. Upon further reflection, he decided it was coming from somewhere else, since there was no such CW on their other frequency, 8006. Now reports about Radio Kuwait. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany says he heard their international pop song program of easy listening, May 19th at 0735, 10 over 9 in Central Europe on 15529.707. One of their many transmitters way off frequency, but not all of them are that far off. May 21st at 21:19, I had a just barely audible station on 17549.98. In fact, it was the only signal on the band after KVOH had closed around 2100 on 17775. This had to be Radio Kuwait's very optimistic target service to Central and Western USA in Arabic. It's scheduled all year at 20 to 24 UT, 250 kilowatts at 350 degrees, but just starting to propagate now, a month from solstice, since there is maximum but only partial insolation on that near polar path. Note, the local time at takeoff ranges from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Who else would ever consider broadcasting on 16 meters at such hours, let alone to the other side of the world? I had just checked WWV and heard the KNX was zero, which may have helped. And the next day, May 22nd at 21:33, I was again hearing that just barely audible carrier. But it's a very good signal in Bulgaria, where Ivo Ivanov reports it, May 18th. He says it's to eastern North America. Well, the ITU CRIF target zones are 6 and 7, which are central and western North America, not the east, although reception is likely to be better in the east over a lower latitude path. Finally, one bye week after the frequency change, we had good reception from the mighty 40 KBC via Germany, 9925 instead of 5960, UT Sunday, May 19th after midnight. And Mark Cote in Ontario agrees, a very good signal for him after those first 2 weeks when it really wasn't making it. He says it held up right with very good signals and excellent audio through the entire two-hour broadcast. Via medium, high, very high, and super high frequencies, World of Radio 1983. Also bringing you worldofradio.com and DX Listening Digest, all of which are non-commercial. Thus, our thanks very much for voluntary financial support this week from Robert W. Gruska in Glendale, New York, who sent a postal money order to Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. He says both the digest and radio program and podcast are looked forward to each week. Thank you for continuing to produce these valuable resources. One may also contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. May 17th, just after 1259 UT, I heard RNZI's Bellbird on a new frequency, 6170. time signal and into RNZP news. It was the first day of a new frequency actually reactivated. They've used it before to avoid that clash with Shokase, Japan, on 5980. I had passed on info about this collision to Adrian Sainsbury, and he had informed me a few hours before that he was making that change to 6170. Now, there is no interference, as Pyongyang is away from that frequency during the A season. Dan Sheedy in California also heard it on this occasion, although for him there was some adjacent interference. The change to the RNZI WebSked had already been made under How to Listen, showing 1259 to 1650 Sunday through Friday, and 1259 all the way until 1858 in AM on Saturdays, 6170. There have been some other adjustments since New Zealand is getting into deep winter where lower frequencies are necessary. May 22nd at 2136, it was audible on 11725. Instead of 13840, the current schedule shows 11725 between 21 and 23 UT approximately, and then going to 13840 all the way until just before 0500, when there's an hour, as I mentioned last week, on 9700. I usually check for Voice of Nigeria just below 7255 around 06 UT, but as of May 23rd, I noticed it had been absent for several nights now. However, Voice of Nigeria is still going on another offset frequency, measured by Wolfgang Büschel as 9689.919. May 19th, it was on a clear channel since Spain was off the air, about which more later. He says it was during a Quran recitation at 1915 UT, scheduled as the Fulfulde language, which has some Arabic words apparently in it. Richard Langley in New Brunswick was listening at exactly the same time via the U20 SDR receiver and measured the frequency exactly the same to three decimal places. But after 20 UT, there is still interference from another station on 9690, presumably France in Hausa. As you may have heard, there's been lots of tornadoes and flooding in Oklahoma, but so far nothing too serious in Enid, where I am, although we've had some close calls. This, of course, leads to broadcast coverage, sometimes wall-to-wall on TV or even radio. I have a report about this in the new DX Listening Digest when published, number 19-21. On the Real DX IO group, where DXers try to help each other identify UNIDs with recordings, Carl Hunzik in Germany, just across the border from Czechia, reports something on 4930, May 19th, from midnight 34 until suddenly closing down at 0139 versus a utility station. And he did not hear it again, but other DXers listened to the recording, and Torolf Jonsson said it's Radio Sur Andina Sikuani. Frederick Dorain replies, congratulations on a new station. The call for Radio Sur Andina is Oscar Alpha Whiskey 7 Mike. Mauno Ritola then found them on disgraced Facebook with just a brief announcement over a background of balloons saying, en breve inauguramos Radio Sur Andina, OCT 4930 kHz. And their address, Giron 2 de Mayo, número 856, Sikuani, en Peru. In other words, we will start shortly on the tropical band frequency of 4930. By the way, Karel Hunzik was also hearing another Peruvian nearby until off at 2305 UT, May 14th, on 4940 Radio San Antonio, which is rarely reported and perhaps rarely active. This was also reported via shortwave bulletin in Sweden. Manuel Mendez in Spain noted that his own country's station, Radio Exterior, was out of air on all four frequencies, May 18th at 1918, when it should have been on 12030, 11940, 11670, and 9690. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, noted, yes, there was no signal on any of those frequencies starting at 14 UT on that Saturday. Manuel Mendez and Gilles Letourneau in Quebec had been listening to the English broadcast on Friday, May 17th, when it suddenly went off the air from 9690 around 2210 or 2215. We don't know what caused this. Wolfgang Büschel wonders if it was a power transformer problem or a lightning strike in a storm, and it was still off the air on Sunday, May 19th. Finally, on May 20th, they were back on at least three of their frequencies, says Manuel Mendez. And Richard Langley was hearing our North American frequency, 9690, by 1915. 9505 is supposed to be the external service frequency from Voice of Africa, Sudan. And 7205, their domestic frequency, probably the same transmitter. But Manuel Mendez was hearing the Voice of Africa external service on 7205 instead, May 18th at 1635 with an ID in French. Also heard until 1725 after they switched to English at 1715. The Voice of Africa from Radio Sudan. It might have changed again by the time you hear this, but here's an example of the frequent frequency changes of Voice of Tibet via transmitters in Tajikistan, as monitored by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria. The frequencies are always odd, and they may change just by a few kilohertz, but they also have made some different bands in use, such as of May 20th, 1230 on 11661 until 1300, replacing three frequencies around 9.9 megahertz, while after 1300 they were still around 9.9, but making slight changes. Via Mike Cooper, here's a strange story from the Cincinnati Enquirer via the USA Today network. As of May 8th, headline, Cincinnati Liars Lager to be tapped at June 15th fundraiser. It's from Cincinnati.com. Grainworks Brewing Company developed a new beer, Cincinnati Liars Lager, to commemorate 75 years of broadcast history at the Voice of America complex. It was a label for a new brew designed by a Westchester Township artist. It'll also appear on T-shirts. What's this got to do with the Voice of America's Bethany Station 75th anniversary? Not exactly a positive nickname. They go on to explain how this came about. Adolf Hitler, who ran an extensive propaganda machine to control the German people, called the Bethany Station those Cincinnati Liars. So in this case, it's a badge of honor. On the other hand, David Cole sends a Washington Post story, headlined, U.S.-funded broadcaster failed to spread fair and balanced news, says an independent review. It's about Radio Marti. Supposed to broadcast objective Spanish-language news into Cuba, fails to meet basic standards of journalistic fairness, and let an anchor describe Trump administration officials as the dream team for Cuba policy. The review found that Marti allows almost any criticism of the Cuban government and its leaders on the air. The effect is that the station has sometimes resembled anti-communist propaganda and has failed to be a broker of fair and unbiased broadcast journalism as mandated by Congress. Dan Robinson, who had a 35-year career at VOA, comments about the broader problem at USAGM. He says it exists under the notoriously dysfunctional USAGM, formerly BBG, plagued by scandal after scandal under current management. The Obama-era appointed director of VOA and the CEO of the larger agency. They've done everything they can to steer public attention away from problems, retain their positions, and oppose Trump efforts to change management at the agency. Any administration, Republican or Democrat, and any president, has the right to make such changes, since VOA and all other taxpayer-funded entities under USAGM are federal agencies. One of the tactics used by VOA to protest Trump's attacks on the press is a new focus on press freedom, VOA now using a Free Press Matters badge, similar to the Democracy Dies in Darkness used by the Washington Post. And the current director of VOA has close family ties with the Post. The agency tries to persuade members of Congress that it should still exist to avert any sharp budget cuts. About World of Radio transmissions, we were pleased to hear from a listener in Malta, Adrian McAuliffe, who heard our 1815 Monday broadcast, May 20th, via IRRS 7290, with a very good signal. But both our station, airing World of Radio Wednesdays at 21 UT, are having problems. on May 22nd. WRMI was again not on the air on 9955, but did come on for 8 minutes during that half hour, starting at 21:16 before it went off again. And WBCQ 7490 did air World of Radio at 21 UT, but it was the previous week's show, 1981, instead of 1982. What would happen at 21:30? They played it again, 1981 instead of 1982, and no Goddess Irina. If WBCQ can spare 2 half hours for World of Radio, we hope they'll make one of them the previous edition and the other the latest edition. Meanwhile, WRMI has been missing at various other times from 9955. I guess they're having problems with the number 10 transmitter. Hope they can get that fixed or perhaps move that service to a different transmitter not otherwise in use. Another week without any reports of hearing the high power test from the WBCQ superstation. I listened to Alan Weiner Worldwide May 18th and gathered some information. He was complaining about heavy rain for 2 weeks, which was delaying completing the antenna. There have also been funding problems, local contractors gouging, and issues over money, which he did not go into detail. He says they did buy an old ladder fire truck for $5 kilodollars to reach the antenna heights instead of renting a ladder truck, which had been costing $22 kilodollars per month. He says the new transmitter is so complicated, watch out. But when working, it's great. He now hopes to get it into full-fledged operation sometime in June. Bob Bierman of Your Weekend Show on WRMI has some comments about this to the World of Radio IO Group. Many years ago, I worked for a transmitter manufacturer. It takes a long time to build even a 100-kilowatt unit under the most ideal factory environment. Months of building comes to initial testing and shakedown. Often major components fail due to things out of control. Moving these massive units and reassembling on the site is also difficult and very time-consuming. I can only imagine a transmitter of 500 kilowatts running into an antenna that had to be constructed with all its complexities at the site in Maine would be a mammoth undertaking. Once you get the unit happy in its new home, they tend to work very well. In NRCDX News, I see that 1480 KBXD in Dallas, Texas, which has been in the Vietnamese language, changed its call sign May 7th to KNGO. That sounds like a Vietnamese word. It's the name of a one-time RVN leader. The word means dainty, and depending on the squiggles around it, could also mean corn. Finally, via Artie Bigley, CNInsideRadio.com story, May 20th headline, broadcasters tell FCC the time has come for digital-only AMs. For example, Crawford Broadcasting has been operating most of its AMs in hybrid mode since 2003. Director of Engineering Chris Alexander says a resounding yes would be their answer if they were given the chance to replace hybrid mode with digital-only signals. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field expected to be active May 29th with ANK indices of 12 and 4. Otherwise, mostly quiet to unsettled through June 15th. Solar flux dipping to 67 May 23rd to 29th and peaking at 76 June 2nd to 10th. That's World of Radio 1983. Glenn Hauser, thanks for listening, and be sure to hear me again next week after another standard disclaimer.